So here we are at the last of our series on Micah. And I'm about to sneeze, so. I feel blessed, and I'm so glad that as soon as I warned everybody, they went straight to the mask. Good job. Just leave those things on, and you won't have to put them off and on. There you go. So we're at the end of a seven-sermon series, which is kind of a short series for us. Well, actually, we have them all kinds of lengths. You know, we'll have a three-sermon series, and well, we have a 22-sermon series this spring. Wondered which could be over first, our series on the Sermon on the Mount or COVID. Well, COVID outlasted us, but we're still here going through Micah. And seven sermons ending today. And it's interesting, the study on the book of Micah. Micah has one of the probably the most famous verses of our current culture right now. Probably more coffee mugs and t-shirts with do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly right now than maybe any other verse in the Bible. And so we spent 6 weeks getting through Micah 6:8. We spent 3 weeks setting the stage for Micah 6:8, and then we spent 3 weeks on one verse, 1 week per verse. And so most of the time, that's where Micah ends. That's the end of the story of Micah. Micah 6:8, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. But wait, there's a whole chapter after that. As a matter of fact, there's a chapter and a half after Micah 6:8. And what if the message that Micah was trying to deliver, that God was delivering to the people then and to us today, was more than Micah 6:8? Well, that's what I believe is the case. And so today we're going to examine these things. If I can push my... There you go. Off, on, boom. Yeah. God's character, God's promise, and God's grace. As we examine this final, really, message from Micah, we're going to deal with God's character, God's promise, and God's grace. Let's pray together. God, today we pray for ears that hear. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be active in our hearts and minds. And that your word become clear to us. Not just informing our thoughts, but informing our actions, shaping our lives. We love you. We want to be faithful and obedient children who make you proud. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. We're going to review a little bit of where we've come. First of all, we're going to say that the requirements were clear. As Micah is speaking to the people, he narrows this, he builds and builds and builds to this moment in Micah 6, chapter 6, verse 8. And he's telling the people, this is where you've messed up. You've gone on the wrong road, and you want to get back to the right road. What is that? And it was very clear. The requirements were to do justice, and the people weren't doing that. And the requirements were to love mercy, and there was to walk humbly. And here's the thing about requirements. Sometimes they're very clear, and yet people ignore the requirements. They ignore the instructions. And I see this all the time, even in myself. Sometimes I just forget. I don't know how you are, but I'm this way pretty much now all the time. If I'm going to a store, I do this little walk. I walk halfway from my car in the parking lot to the door of the store. And then about halfway, I realize I have not remembered the requirements. And so I turn around and go back and get my mask, right? This is us. Sometimes we just forget. We forget the requirements, but that's not really at the heart of what was going on here. The heart of what's going on here, I've seen it, though, in the same setting. And it's the Walmart setting for me. I don't know where you guys go, but for me, it's the Walmart setting. And so I've seen it, though, where people are going into the store with their mask, and there's people who are hired there to check off how many people are in the store and if you got your mask. And then every once in a while, someone will come in, and they're going to stiff arm that person, and they ain't going to put a mask on. And you can do whatever you want to. They are not going to go by the requirements. Forget that. They ain't doing it. I've seen that, too. And actually, I've been that. Not with a mask. I'm pretty good at wearing a mask. But in my life, and especially in my life of following Jesus, there's been moments where the requirements, the path that Jesus laid out is very clear to me. And yet, I've been openly rebellion. And that was the case here. Open rebellion. The people ignored the instruction in their case. What it was about was fraud and greed and corruption. The rich and the powerful were abusing the poor and the weak. And this was happening on a regular basis. And this was the story of Micah from Micah 1 all the way through Micah 6 verse 8. And finally, Micah says, speaking for God, you know what the requirements are. Do justice. But the people weren't about that. And so as soon as verse 8 is over, boom, Micah goes right into telling the people, you're still ignoring the requirements. And he says, you're doing this, you're abusing the weak, and you're also following, it says in chapter 7, or at the end of chapter 6, it says, you're following Omri and Ahab, which these two knuckleheads were two of the most famous bad kings in the day of Micah. Looking back in their short history, it'd be like referring to Hitler today. You guys are like that. That's who you're like. You're like Ahab. Ahab eventually led the people to worship Baal, which eventually led them to have child sacrifices. And so he says, you guys are being just like these two guys. And you're also abusing the poor. And so you know what the requirements are, but you're not following the requirements. And so what's going to happen, as always happens, is there's going to be some consequences. But here's what happens. And it happens in your life, it happens in my life. God sends somebody to warn us. Turn around, or the direction you're going is going to be some serious consequences. And those consequences come in all kinds of forms. And so as the consequences are about to come on God's people, he's reminding them, you have an opportunity to change, to turn around, to repent, because consequences are on the way. But they didn't listen. But here's Micah. In this environment, what I'm calling it, this evil environment, there was always a remnant. There were always some who are going to follow. And what Micah says, even in this time where it's really bad, the culture around me is horrible. And in some ways, do we not live in a culture where, I mean, sin is rampant? Okay? And Micah says, but there's not, everybody hasn't done that. There is a remnant. There are some that are still faithful. And yet the consequences sometimes come on the faithful as well. I know that there are people who, because of my own rebellion, my own sin, they've suffered consequences. We're all this way. We've suffered consequences for sins that are committed by other people. This is the way sin works. And that's what's one of the hardest things about it. And so the culture around us, maybe, and I would say this phrase, going to hell in a handbasket, right? I don't know what the handbasket part's about, but I've heard that phrase. And so that could be happening, but there was always a remnant of faithful, some that are still following. And I want to say, yes, that's where I want to be. I want to be in that group that continues to listen. Even though the whole world around me is going crazy, I'm going to still listen to God. And Micah says that's what he's going to do. And he's going to hope, put his hope in God. Not the king. Micah prophesied during some good king's era and some bad king's. He said, I'm not putting my hope in the king. I'm not going to put my hope in the economy. I'm not going to put my hope in the army. I'm going to put my hope in God. And Micah said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose hope. And I want to say this is about him. Micah says he's going to choose hope. Hope is a choice. Even in the worst of times, and sometimes right now we feel the same way. I don't know what you're thinking, but I think sometimes I'm ready for the bad times to be over and the good times to come. But it seems like bad times are lingering. What do you do when bad times linger? Man, I woke up this morning, I thought it'd go away, but it didn't. It's still here. I turned on the television and it's still there. Maybe I should not turn on the TV. You know what? If I don't turn it on, it's still out there. It's still there. And so we're like the psalmist in Psalm 13. We say, how long? How long? And does anybody in the room know how long? I'm going to say, no, we don't know. And yet, that's what we're asking, how long? And really, the question isn't even how long. The real question is, it's not a question, it's just a plea. Please let it go. And it's maybe it's the pandemic, or maybe it's social unrest, or maybe it's other things, sickness. And just plain rebellion against God. How long? How long is it going to last? But here's where we are in Micah today. I'm going to call it the but God moment. These are some of my favorite moments in Scripture. The but God moment. You know, it's like this. It's when we are lost or we're defeated, God shows up with just what we need. That's a but God moment. For instance, there was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And the people were being persecuted, right? But God shows up and he sends what the people need. There's this little teenage boy. He's out in the field. His name's David. He's going up to battle against the giant. And this giant had made all the best warriors had run away. And this teenage boy is going to fight and he's going to probably die. But God showed up and he won. There's Elijah, who's facing off 400 prophets of Baal. And he's no way he can win this, but God shows up. And in this era of Micah, Micah's in a small town about 20, maybe 30, 40 miles, depends on which expert you listen to, about 30 miles from Jerusalem. And in the time of Micah, and this is especially told in the book, looking back at history, in the book of Jeremiah. It tells the story that Micah stood up and said, you got to change your ways and we got to follow God or we're going to get destroyed. And Hezekiah, the king at the time, listened. And because Jerusalem was surrounded by at least 180,000 Assyrian troops, Hezekiah listened to God. And God showed up, and the Assyrians were defeated. They went back to their home, and Jerusalem was spared because God showed up. And this is what we're looking for in our lives today, aren't we? God, send us a remedy. Send us a cure. Didn't we just pray for this? This is what we've prayed for. And we pray for it about our health, and we pray for it about our world. And we pray for it about just the relationships we have between people who are not like us. We're praying for peace and we're praying for joy and we're praying for healing. And then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, there were lame people. And he showed up and healed them. There were people who were sick. There were even people who were dead and they were raised from the dead. And then Jesus himself was crucified, and God showed up. And when God shows up, things happen. And this is what, and in the case of Jesus, all we all know, he was raised from the dead. Here's the way one of my favorite but God statements has to do with me, my own sin, and God. It's from Romans chapter 2. Verse 3, all of us lived among the spirits of the air at one time. We were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. We were following its desires and thoughts. And like everyone else, we were deserving of God's wrath. That's where we were. That's where you were. That's where I was. In verse 4, but God, because of his great love for us, made us alive even when we were dead in our sin. But God. There's this but God moment. And that's what Micah is waiting for. And that's what I'm waiting for. Amen? And I trust that God is sending messengers and messages on the way, because here's what the message of Micah is. Ready? He delights to show mercy. This is Micah 7, the last three verses. We're going to look at them closely. God delights in showing mercy. This is the message of Micah. God delights in showing mercy. So we sing, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. God's character, God's promise, and God's grace. God's character. You know, I remember Danny weeks or months or maybe years ago referenced the song called Native Tongue. God's native tongue. It's love. God, love is his native tongue. His nature is steadfast love. His nature is never-ending love. So I want to get to these last three verses of Micah, what I think is the message of Micah. Maybe not the most famous part of Micah, but it's the message I think Micah is trying to get to us. So who is, verse 18, who is a God like you? Now then, interestingly, who is a God like you is also what the name Micah means. So sort of, you know, like that. Hebrew names do that sometimes. So who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives guilt? You do not stay angry forever. You delight to show mercy. We're going to come back to that idea. He delights to show mercy. You have compassion on us. You trample our sins and throw them into the ocean. I love that idea. Throw them into the ocean. I want you to get this picture that Mike is painting here. He's painting a word picture. You have compassion on us. And you trample our sins. You take our sins and you stomp on them. And then you take them, God takes them and throws them into the ocean. Or some versions, the depths of the sea. He throws them away. And so this so much reminds me, this verse in Micah reminds me of Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our sins from us. God has taken our sins, your sins, my sins, the people's sins of that day, and he has thrown them into the ocean. They're as far away from him as the east is from the west. And why? Because he has compassion. That means he gets us, right? As a father, Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we were formed. He knows me. He knows what I'm about and how was I formed. He remembers that we're just dust. That's who we are. And then the final verse, you will be faithful, speaking to God. You will be faithful and show steadfast love to the descendants of Abraham and Jacob, as you promised long ago. In Genesis 12, there's the call of Abraham. And Abraham, he takes God takes Abraham and he says, I want you to look into the sky and see the stars. And when you see the stars, I want you to know that your descendants are going to be greater than all the stars. Well, several years ago, Rich Mullins wrote a song called Sometimes by Step. And the chorus of that song became a praise song. We, a lot of people sing called Step by Step. But in the verse of it, in the verse of the song, Sometimes by Step, it goes like this. Sometimes I think of Abraham and how one star he saw had been lit for me. I want you to think about it. God, Abraham looking up and says, your descendants are going to be as great as the stars. See that one up there? That star way up there? That's Bob. It's got a couple of thousand years before he shows up, but he's coming. And see that one? See that one up there? That's Shannon. Yeah, you see that? You see these different stars? They're all of us. And that he knows our name, and that's who he remembers us. This word remember is important. He remembers us, and he remembers his promise. He remembers his promise. He remembers us. He made these promises long ago, but here we are today. So these last three things. He forgives us, first of all, because he wants to. I want you to think about that for just a second, too. He forgives us because he wants to. He likes forgiving us. He enjoys it. It says he delights in showing mercy. God likes it. It's not just a check-the-box forgiveness. You know, like, hey, it's on the list of things I got to do today. Okay, I got to forgive Bob again. No, he delights in showing mercy. He likes it. It's his nature. And the second thing, he forgives because he promised. He said he would. He's going to. He says he remembers his promise. And what is the promise? The promise is, I will be your God and you'll be my people. I'm promising you that. You're going to do a lot of bad things. And for you to be able to still be my people, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to forgive you. He remembers his promise. He keeps his promises. And the third thing is about his type of forgiveness. His forgiveness is not, like I said, a check-the-box kind of forgiveness. Like, okay, got to forgive him again. It's a kind of forgiveness that reminds us of our identity. It restores our identity and it restores our relationship. So let me give you what I'm talking about. To the people, he is reminding them they are not slaves, they're children. They're not slaves, they're children. Who are you? Oh, how come you seem to be a slave to sin? And his forgiveness reminds us, no, I'm not a slave, I'm a child, I'm a son. That's who I am. That's his forgiveness reminds us of who we are. And it also reminds us of our relationship with him. I'm not your enemy. I'm not an outcast. You haven't thrown me away. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. There's no lingering. In his kind of forgiveness, there is no lingering kind of shame or guilt or fear. Sometimes I feel like sometimes I've been forgiven, and maybe I've forgiven some people like this, where I forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to hold it over your head forever. And I'm going to give you a look. You're going to know that, okay, you're kind of forgiven, but because I had to forgive you. That's not how God forgives. He forgives, right? He stomps on it and throws it into the ocean. He stomps on it and throws it into the ocean. So, the point. Mike is a great book. I think it's been a great study for us. And it is a book that informs us about justice and about love and about humility. But mostly, it's a book about God's grace. It's a book about God's unfailing love. And we're going to stand up and sing about that right now. You know, the way I was raised, I would have thought that Micah 7, 18, 19, and 20 really belonged in Romans. Because, you know, I didn't know about I didn't grow up thinking that the God of the Old Testament, as if there was one of two testaments, didn't know anything about grace. But he's always been a graceful God. And here's us. We bear his image. We're created in his image. And because of that, we also love and forgive. So just as surely as he forgives us, he wants us to forgive each other, to forgive others. And so let's live life that way, bearing his image. Amen? Next week, we're going to hear from another guy in the Bible, but not Micah. So come back and join us then too. We'll still be talking about the love and mercy of God. Have a good week.